Welcome to the daily international OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Rabbi Phil Karish of the Orthodox Union, filling in for Naftali Herman, who's on break with his family. Thank you so much to each of you for joining today's call on Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 17th day of Kislev. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Shai Tahan, Rav of Congregation B'nai Yosef in Brooklyn, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Tahan slowly reciting our daily dose of Tehillim, of Psalms, chapters 23, 121, and 130, Prakim Kaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed, which will be followed by the Mishaberach for Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Tahan to learn a little bit about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. B'chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Tahan.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Karish, and welcome everybody, all the participants. It's a big and great schus. It's an honor to be in this amazing OU Chizuk initiative. Over the years, the OU, the Orthodox Union, had served Klal Yisrael in so many ways beyond just the Shul. And this get-together opportunity is another testimony to that, and I really appreciate that. I'd like to say something on the Parsha that really, I think, is very enlightening and gives a real chizuk. In the Parsha, the Parsha starts off, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, Elesav Achiv Al-Tasir, De Edom. What does that mean? What does it mean, malachim? We found in different places in the Torah, malachim could have two meanings, either messengers, or it could mean angels, literally angels. Rashi points out, first Rashi on the Parsha, he points out that over here we're dealing with real angels. And the Sefer Degel Machne Ephraim wants to know, why is it that it says in the pasuk over here, lefanav, v'yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav, he sends malachim ahead of him. It's really not needed. Why do you need to say that? He brings out a beautiful idea. He says that you need to know that malachim have such a character trait that you can recognize them even though they go down into this world, into human beings' form, which means sometimes the malachim come into this world, and when they come to this world, he explains, they dress up, they put a costume on themselves, and they look like human beings. But in reality, it's only a costume. But anybody who can recognize them and knows how to recognize them, he'll see malachim, he'll see angels. He's not going to see human beings. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu, since they stood in front of him, was able to recognize them and know who stands in front of him. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. They in front of him were malachim. But Esav, on the other hand, when he saw them as human beings. And therefore, they didn't, for instance, intimidate him in any way. Because it's a question. If they were malachim, they were angels, why Esav was not intimidated? Why wasn't he scared of them? Why did he need so much convincing? These are malachim. These are angels. They're doing their job just by being angels. The answer is, says the Degel Machne Ephraim, is that they look like malachim only to those people that are very elevated and can recognize them. And with that, I like to mention an amazing Chazon Ish. In the letters, in the Igros Chazon Ish, the letter, Yudimel, he writes the following words, I'll say it in his lashon in Hebrew, and then I'll translate. Ve'omnam ha'ish ha'stoichel lidiyas ha'tayra, hu'olef ben anashim, ve'nidme la'adam ro'el ha'inayim kiven adam, aval ve'emes hu'malach, ha'garim ne'it muta, ve'chai chaye ha'tilus, u'mro'imam al kol brachotila. What does he say over here? In English. Indeed, the man who merits to acquire the thorough knowledge, although he walks amongst people and he looks to all as human beings, but the truth is that he's an angel. He's just an angel who lives with people, and he lives a noble life, and he's elevated above all blessings and praises. Chazon Ish tells us, unbelievable, the person that acquires knowledge of Torah, he's not a human being. He's a malach, not he's like a malach. He doesn't say he is a form of a malach, he's like a malach. No, he's a mamash, he's a real angel, he's a real malach. That's what the Chazon Ish says. So comes that very interesting according to this. Sometimes you have malachim, you have angels that came down to this world, and the Degel Machnefayim says that they formed themselves, they look to us, they put a custom of human beings. And only those that are very elevated, those that are like Yaakov Avinu, can detect them and know who they are. But it's not like that by those that actually were born over here as regular human beings, and they were born to a regular father and mother. If they acquire the knowledge of Torah, they learn Torah, they become scholars in learning Torah, those people transform to being angels. And those people you can recognize. How could you recognize? You see a human being. The truth is, says the Chazon Ish, if they know Torah, if they're extreme Talmid Chachamim, you should know those are not human beings. They walk around people and they look like them. But in reality, they're not. They are not people. They're not people. They look like people. They're not people. They are angels. They're real angels. The Chazon Ish, when he was speaking, he knew exactly that because he knew that those that learned Torah, he was such and he was among such people. Those that learn Torah transform, they upgrade to being angels. They're not, they just look to the eye as people. How interesting it is that you can have two kinds. One, you need very high people to be able to detect. Those are the real malachim that started off as malachim. But to us, anybody that comes to such a high level could be recognized even without seeing the angel within him. We need to believe that that's what it is. That's how the Chazon Ish teaches us over here. Beautiful, beautiful insight from the Chazon Ish. I like to continue with our program. We'll start off with the Tehillim, reading the Psalms of chapter 23, Perek of Kimel, chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai roi leSar. Binot deshe arbiteni, alme menuchot yenalem. Nafshi yashovev yanchen v'mak lecedek lemaan shemo. Gam kelech v'gam v'geis al mavet. Lo irarach yata imadi. Shiftecha u'mishantecha hema enafamuni. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged sorerai. Ishanta v'shemen roshi kosi revaya. Achtov v'chesed irdefuni kol yemei chayai. V'shefni v'et Adonai. We're going now to chapter 121, Kufkas Aleph, 121. Shir lamalot, esayinay le'arim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri, me'im Adonai, otesh shamayim v'aret. Al yiten lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha, hine lanum, ve'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomer echa, Adonai tilcha liad imilecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lekeka, ve'areach balayla. Adonai shmocha mikol ra, ishmor et nafshecha. Adonai shmocha vorecha, me'adah ve'ad olam. And last, we're reading chapter 130, Kuflamed, Shir HaMa'alot. Mimamakim kiraticha, Adonai, Adonai shima ve'koli. תהיינה עוזניך קשובות לכל תחנוני, עם עוונות, תשמוריה, אדוני, מי יעמוד? ימיך שליך למען תברא, עזיתי אדוני, כי ותן נפשי ולדברו פעלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי עם אדוני החסד, והרבה עם עופדות, והוא יפדת ישראל מכל עוונותיו. We're going to recite the Mishabeah for those that are ill, that don't feel well. The sick, Mishabeach, Avotenu, Hakdoshim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, הוא יברך ורפא את כל חולי עמו ישראל, ובכללם הוא יברך ורפא. בעבור שמתפללים בעבורם, הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, לחלימם, לרפותם, לחזיקם, וישלח להם רפואה שלמה מן השמיים, רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף. עכשיו הגלב זמן קריר, ונאמר אמן. We continue. קודי אחינו, אחינו, כל בית ישראל הנתונים בשרה ושגרה, העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום ירחם עליהם וציהם, מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה, משיבות לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן.
אמן. Thank you so much, Rabbi Tahan. Hoping to ask a few questions to learn a little bit about you and your community. First of all, how are you doing? How is your family and how is your community holding up?
Well, thank you very much for asking. And the truth is, you know, we from Brooklyn, New York, a very, very hard heat, as you all know, probably the hard in the country or maybe even the world. Definitely the community at large went through a real crisis at the time, in April, by Pesach time, even afterwards. It's a real trauma. But, Baruch Hashem, things got much better since. It was like a war zone over here. Every 5 minutes you would hear an ambulance driving through. It was a scary time, but I think after those hard times, we got to better times, and now people are, you see that there's a different shine to their face. They became much more elevated, much more friendly, and it did make a change in people's life. I think now people are getting back to their themselves and better self as well.
Wow. Sounds like your community has been through a lot. I'm glad to hear that things are moving in the right direction. For those of us who are outside of Brooklyn and even more narrowly within your shul, can you give us a little bit of a picture of your community, a brief overview of your shul and in the community in which it rests?
Surely. So we have over here, what we do is we have a couple of things that we run in the community. It's a very large community, as you know, in Brooklyn. One of the things is a Beis Torah, which means we have, since we have a very diverse community, it's the place that we run the Kollel and the Beis Torah and many other things in such a place that it's like a shtibel, so to speak, as the Landau's, if anybody knows, Landau's in Brooklyn or Itzkovich in Bnei Brak. This is the spotty shtibel that people are there in and out throughout the whole day with endless minyanim. And over there, we station a kollel, and we have a Beis Torah. Beis Torah that is serving not only the community, since it's on the phone and on social media as well, anybody that needs any kind of help in any different means, we are here to serve him in so many different ways that today is available. So it's for the community, the flat, and at large, also for anybody else, even around the world, whoever needs help. So that's one of the things that we do besides the other big thing that we have, and that is the kollel. We have young guys that are sitting and learning very seriously, and they're getting smicha to become rabbis and heads of the next communities around New York and abroad, other places as well. So we have all that going on in that. We have a very large community because it comes in and out. As I said, it's not only a very close community of some people, but rather it's open for anybody that needs a minyan anytime. And also together with that, we have various programs that are running at the same time.
Wow. Sounds like there's a lot at play there. That's wonderful and a great service to the community. On a more personal note, Rabbi, what motivated you to become a shul rabbi?
Well, you know, after you sit down in kollel, in yeshiva first, and in kollel, and you learn, you feel that that you learned there's a certain time that you feel that you want to give over and you want to feel that you want to create something in that. And any yid, that's nothing about me, but any yid feels that he wants to give over and do Kiddush Hashem, wants to give over, first of all, back, something back to Ribbono Shel Olam for doing so much for us. And secondly, to the community, to other people as well, benefit them with whatever. So each person does it in their own way. Who knows better than the OU or everything, all the wonderful things that you are doing for Klal Yisrael. So when you get to that point, you really look for the best opportunity around. And today, since things have changed so much in the world in the last 10, 20 years, it became so much easier to reach out to so many more people. We're trying to take advantage of every opportunity just to be able to bring out those learnings that we had in Yeshiva and Koilo. So we do something with it that other people can benefit and it's a shame from it.
Wonderful. Thank you. Last question for you. Of course, in light of COVID-19 and certainly where you live, the world has been dramatically changed and changes everywhere and will be everywhere, maybe certainly for months and maybe for years to come. What communal changes do you expect to remain after COVID is behind us?
Well, I think what happened over here, besides the, you know, there were terrible things that everybody went through, but some beautiful things came out of it as well. And we need to look at the good things that came out. And I like to point out some things, and I think they're lasting for after the pandemic as well. And that is, for example, when everybody were home, being home has also some qualities. You are with your family. You get to know your family. We live in such a world that you don't get to see and know your family, your kids. There's no time for anything. You run to work very early in the morning, go off to school, then you run to work, then you come back home very late, and you don't have time for anything. Right now, people had to be with their family, with their kids. They had to see where they're holding in their learning. Are they really, they really know their learning or not? And there's so many things that I saw that within my family and other people that spoke to me, that their kids were not holding where they thought that they were holding, or the way they wanted them to be at. And they gave them the right attention and the right approach, and they sat with them and they advanced them in all these things. That's one of the things that I think lasts, because today the most important thing that we have in Klal Yisrael is our family. And the family is so important because it's so easy today. You see, there's so many families that are not doing well in so many different ways. And each person, I think, needs to strengthen his own family to make sure that they are strong enough to go through today's age, which is extremely, extremely hard. I like also to mention, on a personal note, that's more on a communal note and on a Klal Yisrael note, but on a personal note, for me, it was a great opportunity because we got so many interesting questions in the Beis Torah at the time. Very interesting questions. They came by the hundreds. So many things that you never thought of. That I, on a personal note, also wrote a book of Shalos Teshuvot, response to those questions in depth, and it's going to be published soon. But that was a benefit for me as well, that I was able to bring out something on a book, on a sefer, something written that could really give me something that I could use for advancing further the initiative that I'm doing with the Beis Torah, with the Kollel, and give that over to other people as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Rabbi Tahan, for being on the call today, for providing us with a glimpse into your community and sharing Tehillim and Dibrei Chizuk. As with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, our thoughts and prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. And may the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at 1 p.m. for words of inspiration from Rabbi Eli Shestak of Congregation Ahavat Achim in Fairlawn, New Jersey. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy,